up on you.
The power was gonna restore 15 to 20 million jobs. I am your future.
You have the power.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We're our national leaders.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio, here broadcasting on 860 AM. As you know, we serve Philadelphia, southeastern Pennsylvania, the state of New Jersey, and northern Delaware on the radio at 860 AM. And of course, many people are tuning in on the internet simply by logging on to AmericanWorkersRadio.com. And also you can do it on your iPhone, just AmericanWorkersRadio.com. Click on the link. There are so many ways to get to us now. And I want to say a big thank you to everyone that is providing that information to family members and friends, because good things happen every time we speak up about something positive. We don't hear a lot of that in the news, of course, but that's the way it is, and we have to do things to change it. Today, we're going to ask everyone to be blunt. What they have on their mind, I want to hear it. Mark Andel, I want to say thank you to you, founder of the Made in America store. And by the way, Mark's store link is right there on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com. He also has a Saturday morning broadcast. You can hear his shows. A number of them are posted there right under his logo. And also, you can get the Buy American Made app there. Go on there and make sure you promote America and American Made every way you can. Also, Larkin Conley, a special thank you, who is our national small business advocate, and a lot of small businesses are hurting these days. I'd like to talk a little bit about that today as well. Rich Logis is the principal of RJL Technology Integration, and of course, Rich always has an opinion to share, and we like it. Also, our engineer is Henry Chaplinsky, and I'm Michael Blihash. Always very pleased to hear from you. You can send me your thoughts and suggestions at michael@americanworkersradio.com. That's michael@americanworkersradio.com. And I enjoy sharing what you have to share with me, with our listeners, whether it's on our Wednesday broadcast and also on Saturday as well. The first question today for all of our panel members and for all of you is, with all the federal funds being spent, where is our seat at the decision table? Where do we fit in as the taxpayers? We, America's taxpayers, should have a seat at the table to offer how we feel about dollars are being authorized. Everybody wants a lot, but how are we going to afford it? It's like any of you having a house and you say, I want to get this, I want to get that. But if it's not in your budget, you're putting yourself in debt. And that's exactly what America is doing to all of us, our children, our grandchildren, their children, and their grandchildren. Because this is not going to go away very, very quickly. And yes, we elected people to go to Washington. But did any of them contact you or me to see how we feel about the federal dollars being spent? I didn't get any calls. I'm still waiting. I'm wondering how many of you received a call. Remember, it's our tax dollars, not only the tax dollars of 535 individuals that are elected to represent us in Washington. Now many people are seeing, this is a time we have to reconsider what's going on, to see what our individual people in Washington are doing for the well-being of American workers and their families, our communities. We have a lot to talk about today. And none of us said to these people that were elected, just go to Washington and do whatever you want. American workers and America's families will be left paying for whatever they do and whatever they want. But we have no seat at the table to discuss our suggestions and how to spend those tax dollars. And that's why I'm a little bit disturbed because all these people with great influence, I'm told, have their, you know, requests answered immediately. Other people have to just wait in line like everybody else. And that's not the way it should be. In America, we're supposed to be people of equality. And I don't like also the focus on the race, the color, the creed, the racism. You know, all this is dividing the American people. It's not uniting us to be the best that we are. When children are born, they grow up, they go to playgrounds, they have a good time with their friends. They don't look what color, what race, or what creed they are. They want to have a good time. And that's really our thing here in the United States. We want to benefit. We want to benefit. We, the American people, we have to benefit. We have to look out for one another. Our businesses are going to drown if we don't go after what is truly deserving to be here in the United States of America. With those few thoughts in mind, I'm going to turn first today to Mark Andel. Mark, tell us what you feel.
How you doing, Mike and Lark and Rich? Henry, always thank you for helping us sound good. Mike, challenges time, as always, in the United States and in business. A lot of things going on, Mike. You know, first and foremost, the Made in America movement is very strong. We see that at our counter. We hear that from our comments. I got a chance to do, you probably have a Rotary Club, Mike, in your area. But we had a Rotary Club take a tour and want a speech yesterday morning for about an hour. And it's business owners, and there was a judge there, and an educator, and you know, a teacher. So it was a good chance for me to tell my whole story. And my story got longer now because we have the pandemic included in it. But after that, we had a lot of great questions. It always you know, baffles me in a way that we're always trying to educate, raise awareness, be consistent with our message, Mike. And I think your radio show, and even from a simple speech, people's eyes I could just watch. They don't know certain things. They don't know America doesn't have anything I could sell that plugs in or takes a battery. They don't know about the product shortage, the rapid inflation, as much as you would think. And these are, you know, good people, business people. So afterwards, they all shopped. I was very surprised and filled their baskets and loved what we're doing and, you know, a lot of thank you. So that's nice to get back in the game doing the speeches and hopefully making a difference and impact in the area with what we educate them with and what's going on. So, Mike, the other thing I've got to talk about again is the rapid inflation. And it's still climbing. All prices are still climbing, no matter what you hear. Steel's now at $1.30 a pound, unprecedented. Polypropylene plastics. We just had our licorice supplier tell us that we can't get licorice till the fall. We've had a lot of businesses this week, if it involves plastics, they can't get the plastic, plus the rise of plastic. And plastic and the polypropylene is involved with foam, you might have heard. You know, with the foam shortage, you can't make car seats to pillows, you know what I mean, or yep, mattresses. So, Mike, I want to talk. Rapid inflation is still there, and there's no end in sight. I'm talking to top buyers in the country. I had some great talks over the weekend. And then the product shortage and component shortage, main challenge, number one in the United States of America. I sat with a business that went out 63 years. I spent 2 hours with him and his family last week. I wanted to know why. Well, he's a pool business, and he's a lawn care service, and lawnmowers, the chainsaws. Been around 63 years, so you have no chlorine. He has no chlorine to sell. That's very big on his cash flow. Pools, he had ordered 100. He got 10. Yeah, the demand's there. You can't get a pool. And then Cub Cadet, they had a tire shortage. And this is interesting. They couldn't ship the Cub Cadets from overseas to here because of the shipping containers. When they came over here, they weren't allowed to ship the shipping container back because of COVID, Mike. So they tried to air freight the same amount of product. So say the shipping container fill cost you $20,000. To air freight the same amount cost you $120,000. Yes, $120,000. So that caused the Cub Cadets. And then in the steel chainsaws and lawn equipment, there's a component, even though a lot of them are made mostly here, there's a component made overseas like the oil pumps in them you can't get, so there's no steel products. So these four things alone caused him to make a decision to close his doors July 31st. Product shortage. I've got major trailers I'm building, 50-foot long, that go underneath the bridges to reclaim the bridge. I cannot get the hydraulic cylinders. I ordered them 4 months ago. They're supposed to be in last week. Now the place cannot tell me when they'll be in, Mike. So what that matters, I've got the product 90% complete. I can't put the hydraulic cylinders on it, and that means I can't cash that job out, Mike. So you can't get your cash flow back out of it. And, Larkin, we can talk about this, the cash flow. No product, no sales, no cash flow, no business. So I say buckle up, Mike. That's buckle up. We haven't seen nothing yet.
We haven't seen anything. Absolutely.
No matter what industry you're in with this product shortage or component shortage, if it's the car or truck industry, it's the computer chip, they can't finish the trucks. But I want to say this, though. With Made in America, our vendors, 500 vendors, are all 10 to 45 days out. Now, they've had the worker shortage. I said this before. But our products made in America, in our borders, we're getting. They have the components. But there's a slight delay on them. They came through for our fair because if we didn't have products, we can't do the fair, our big fair, which is another sales leg. But the other component problems are overseas foreign products. We've lost our supply chains through the years. We made major mistakes, and now we're paying the dues because you can't get the components to finish your products, from airplanes to cars to computers to the simplest product in my shop. No products, no components, no business, Mike.
Well, what you're saying, Mark, is that this is another indication of how the American leadership, not only the elected, the businesses, and everyone else,
absolutely
screwed ourselves. First of all, I hear the same things. I do go around just for the sake of seeing what's going on. And everybody has the same problem. How in the name of heaven can we say that there is 90% of the stuff is coming in foreign? Didn't anyone see this over 30 years? But here is the thing that, Mark, two people tried to call and lobby me to encourage elected people to expand the unemployment of the extended unemployment because of the Delta variant. Until it's resolved, the expanded unemployment should remain in place. And of course, asking me that question, I'm not the best person to ask. I said, I don't think that's a good idea. I said, we have to get our people that have job availabilities, they're needed on the job, back in place, whether they're masked or not. They have to be back in place, back in their seat at the job. They're just impossible to believe it. I also ask the good people in businesses, I said, how many of your elected officials have come to you, have come to your neighborhood associations, have come to your business associations and said, good people, let's talk about getting more jobs here in the USA. Let's talk about getting all those things back in the schools, all the trades, all the technology, all the things that people work day and night in foreign countries to improve. In America, we do very little. And in most cases, zero. Totally zero. There's a big problem also, Mark. Enormous. If a new business wants to open up here in the United States, and many do, the campaign is making people want to expand here in the United States. The problem is worker shortage.
Absolutely.
And skills shortage. Some of these people in their 20s and 30s are looking to do this for the first time in their life. Many of them are public school students. I work in the human services, so I speak to a lot of people. I ask them very nicely. I don't attack anybody. I ask them very nicely. Never had it. Never had it. Never had it. Did you do bookkeeping in school? No, never had it. Yeah, we had like one day of it, and that was it. And, you know, they said everything is going to change by next week. It was always an excuse. You can never unknow what you know. What you learned, you will not forget. But they're not doing that in America. And I feel Americans would rather hear ideas at this point. They've already seen all the negativity in this country. They want to see things that are going to improve their life coming out of the mouths of national elected leaders. The people at the top is not worried about America in any way. I put that in one of my commentaries 2 weeks ago, and I got some good responses. The top is not concerned about anybody. They're concerned just to pass time, let days pass, about 24 hours a day, and you know, time moves very quickly. Any of us can see, and it's going to bankrupt more people than we realize.
Unfortunately.
Unfortunately, people who were good managers, good savers, are going to really get hurt in this process because it's not them. It's the country. It was the business leaders. Another thing I learned this week, which was very disappointing to me, a very nice company that I've done business with, they have told me that within the year, they will be closing their doors. And I said, why? And they said, because the owner decided he wants to get out of the business and he sold it to a foreigner. And a foreigner said, it's too expensive to run that business here in Pennsylvania. We're moving it overseas. So by this time next year, that company is bye, bye, bye. And yet there's nobody in our state and probably in most states saying, wait a minute, we can't allow that to happen. We need to have somebody on the job to talk to this new owner. Or maybe that company should be able to go to a company that sells American companies to fellow Americans who are sympathetic to our cause. Well, you can tell by my mood today. How about we take a few moments and say, how are you, Rich Loges?
Michael, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning to everyone and Larkin and Mark. And man, what a morning we have had thus far. Larkin, I haven't spoken to you yet. Mark, need to talk with you guys. But we had a profile, Michael, of our new organization here in Florida. It's called SOSS, Save Our Sunshine State. And the premise of that organization, the goal, the mission, is increased voter engagement, registration, and turnout. If I ask you guys a question, if you want to answer it on air, great, and if you don't want to, that's fine. But if I asked you, Mark, we had a conversation, I said, hey, Mark, what is democracy? What is it? Like, show it to me. If I asked you to show me wigwam socks in your store or the hat that I wear, the awesome American flag hat, or some of the toys that you have so generously sent my kids over the years for Christmas, that's a tangible product, right, Mark? I can hold it. I can show people. I can go purchase it. What's democracy? What does it look like? What is it? What is it, Michael?
Mm-hmm. Well, we're...
What is it? What,
you know,
what,
a friend
now,
of mine...
Now, if you want to answer it, great. But I'm gonna counter it with, if you were to ask one of our major parties, and I'll allow everyone to try to figure out whom I'm talking about. If you were to ask one of our major parties, what is democracy? Now, what they might publicly say, Michael, would be, well, it's equality, social justice, and you know, everyone has a fair chance, and all of this Pollyannish utopia, right? All of that. But what they privately believe democracy is to simply outnumber their opposition. Now, Mark, isn't the ability to outnumber pretty objective, right? You're using a standard of math, right? And here in the adult world of America 2021, math, Michael, isn't subject to however you construe it. Math is mathematics. It's got a total, however you calculated that total. So what I am saying is that for those who are on the opposing side of that major political party, whether you're a registered voter with the other political party or you're an independent, you know, so-called independent, or you're no party, or you're whatever you are, if you want to continue, Michael, see, if we're all going to advance what we talk about on this show, everybody has to exercise their abilities to outnumber those who would otherwise make our country, our state, our cities, and our communities unaffordable, unsafe, and unfree. If you're not outnumbering them, then all we're doing is offering worthless polemics. You know, there's this saying that opinions are like a certain anatomical part of our body. And I always like to remind people that that's an insult to compare that anatomical part of our body to opinions, because that anatomical part of our body serves a scientific and biological purpose. Your opinions serve the only purpose is to annoy me. That's all that serves the purpose of, is to aggravate me. So ultimately, Michael, everybody has to make a decision for themselves, which is, what is it that one is willing to wager and do to outnumber those who would otherwise make your communities, your states, your cities, etc., unaffordable, unsafe, and unfree? I can't answer that question for an individual, Michael. All I can do is offer many options. And Michael, last point, after I offer all of those many options, which might be to put your hand in your pocket, how are we going to pay for it? Ask the conservative, LOL. Put your hand in your pocket, or you make your phone calls, or you go to events, Michael, or you knock on doors in the middle of an August summer in Florida. If I present the options to you and you decide still to do nothing, then all you've shown yourself to be is a person who wants freedom, who wants opportunity and safety and security. But the problem, Mark, is they just want you to do it for them.
That's right. Oh, my God.
And they just want you to pay for it, and they just want you to assume the risk and liability while they kick their feet back, pour a mojito, extra rum, and enjoy all the spoils. Only problem with that is here in the adult world, we ain't nobody's freedom fighters, Michael.
Mm-hmm.
Just as George Washington, in case anyone's wondering out there, and this is a lengthier discussion, part of a larger context of history, George Washington wasn't anybody's freedom fighter. We've romanticized our history to a point where we don't understand it, which is almost as bad as entirely writing out George Washington out of our history, Michael. But that's a different discussion.
Yes. Yes, you're
right.
If
you don't do anything, don't tell me that you care about these issues. You've just shown yourself to be somebody who just wants someone else to do it for you.
You know,
so that's
Rich,
my burning bush sermon from the mount for this
now,
morning.
Now, on the burning bush, I just want you to add one more concern. As these people are coming over our southern border, they are being shipped to various states, some by bus, some by plane. And all of a sudden, you know, they get 200 people here, 200 people there. When you're getting big numbers like this, my concern is, do the people coming over the southern border, maybe going to Florida, have they been tested for COVID? Rich, do you know? Are they coming here, America?
Are they
coming here pre-tested?
Well, this is not exactly, Michael, answering your question, okay? But it ties into it. For many, many, many years, any adult American, right? And by adult, I mean like you are of your maturity level is of your actual age, as opposed to being 50 and thinking like a 5-year-old. Any adult American has been concerned about illegal immigration. Being concerned about anything that is illegal, Larkin, doesn't make you anti anything. It just makes you pro law and order. So while I am concerned, Michael, about those illegally coming in, as I have been for many years, I am probably slightly more concerned with people who are coming into our state from other cities and other states whom I believe are going to come here and are going to attempt to turn us, whether intentionally or unintentionally, into the places that they fled. That's what my organization does, Michael. And we had a big profile today in our most widely circulated daily newspaper here in South Florida. And in that article, I was quoted as having 70 years of data to to back up my claim. I can back up my claim that when you have massive migration to a state, there is not a singular exception in post-World War II America where that place has become more affordable, more safe, and more free. Now, what those attacking me in the articles were all of the usual talking points, you know, racist, white supremacist. I mean, I was here's how you know you made it, Mark. When you are called a white supremacist, you're on to something. Okay? You're on to something. That's how you know. See, the typical Republican, Michael, wants to be liked by the New York Times. If you want a friend, adopt a dog. And if you want acceptance, join a cult. If you're actually in the business of outnumbering those who would otherwise ruin where you live, be prepared for the slings and arrows. That's why I always say, anyone unwilling to wager something of value, will never be followed by serious people.
Right.
Never.
Right.
Will never be followed by serious people.
And Rich,
because the only people the only people who truly lead are those who are willing to wager something of value very publicly. And that's what I'm willing to do.
Rich, I want to tell you two things. First of all, an individual told me about when they came from communist-dominated Europe 35 years ago, and they now lived in America for 35 years. Conditions here in America are getting worse than they were when they left communist-dominated Europe 35 years ago. That's number one. And number two, one of the reasons to close the border would be to guarantee that the American people would not have another opportunity to be infected by one person that could have COVID. God knows what their situation is. And by the way, any of you who are here that know that when your grandparents came to this country, you had to have a test when you came to Ellis Island or to Philadelphia. You had to be tested. We're not testing anybody for anything. Many of you that had grandparents, they could tell you whether they came from Poland, Italy, Ireland, or whatever. You were pre-tested before you could enter this country. What is going on now? Where is the bottom line with all this? There is no leader. I turn on the news to listen to about reports of rape, riot, and robbery, and how everybody wants to spend our money. They don't want to work. They want everything free. Walk in the door, walk in the windows. The dollars are going to come flying on one of these good snow dollar days. But guess what? There is no snow dollar days, number one. And nothing is going to change unless we, the American people, we, America's consumers, keep our wallets closed. If it doesn't have a competitive American-made product on the shelf next to the one that we are forced to buy right now because we don't have any competitive products on the shelf. And when these people in the stores try to give me some kind of story, oh, that's the way it's been for 25 years. And I tell them, well, that's how stupid America's leadership was. That's how stupid America's businesses were. And that's how the consumers just let it go by. And now we are sitting with rising poverty, unemployment, which is being supported by the government, a young people who are being told to have, you know, all these racial feelings. Oh, this is no good. The whites are no good. The blacks are no good. The Asians are no good. How about America is great? Larkin, I'm going to turn to you.
Good morning, Michael and Rich and Buffalo Bill. I'm going to start giving Mark names like Buffalo Bill. And I mean, he certainly is carrying the flag in areas where the flag obviously needs to be carried. You know, this has been a very difficult listen for me the last 20 minutes or whatever we've been on, half hour. I think we all kind of, it almost sounds like we all have our own agenda. Not the time to worry about a lot of things that we're talking about. It has gotten to a point that you can't even have a discussion with family members without being called names. I mean, this country is in such a very weird place that I had somebody tell me the other day, New York City is one of the greatest places in the country to live. Well, I accept that from him, but don't ask me, because that's why I love Philadelphia. I had two people murdered within 100 feet of my front door. Murdered, shot down, dead. And my wife and I looked at each other and said, we either have to buy pistols and armor or we have to get out of here. So the problems of this country run very, very deep, and they run beyond a lot of what we're, and they are running way beyond as each week evolves, beyond the problems that we had when we first started this program, or this program even at its midpoint. Listen, it's, I said a year ago, and now I say a year ago, almost tongue in cheek, and now I say it with all seriousness. This country could lapse into another civil war. It really could. I don't think there's any question of that. People are so steadfast. I was told the other day in a conversation that I had that virtually everything that came out of my mouth was BS, was wrong. And I said, well, where does the debate begin? The debate doesn't begin because you're a freaking idiot. You're an idiot, and your program and everybody on it, and I'm going, holy mackerel. I mean, I thought maybe we would have a little discussion here, but it turned into a definition of me as a 73-year-old man being just, I'm an idiot. And everybody on the program is an idiot, and I'm sorry I didn't want to tell you all that you were idiots, but it's not so much that conversation as it is that is where this country is right now. Nobody listens to anybody else. Have you listened to Rand Paul and Dr. Fauci at the Senate subcommittee hearings? They're both doctors. They're both trained medical doctors, arguing like a bunch of children. And on both sides, nobody really resolving the issues.
Right. Was there a suggestion? Larkin, you watch the news. You're out among people. Did they hear of anybody in the country trying to get people together, to get the workers together, to get taxpayers together, to agree on things, what we can do to make America better? There's no people in the news media. Larkin, if you could tell me, you mentioned David Muir, and you're right. He does give a little bit of time at the end, focusing on America first and things like that. It's very good. He did that in the past. He got chastised. He stopped doing it for a few years. Now he's back. I respect him for that. Isn't there someone else in the country, maybe somebody in every state? This is probably one of the few broadcasts where we focus on how we can do things to motivate the American consumer, to motivate our fellow Americans to look out for America and American workers and America's families and America's futures. Sometimes we have to talk common sense, Larkin, because that's what it's all about. Did any person in the Congress, the 535 people, did they get up and say, we're concerned about COVID coming to the country through the border? Did they say, we're concerned that the American taxpayers are not happy with the way we're spending money at the border, welcoming people to come to our country without an invitation, then busing them and planing them to other states? No, I don't remember hearing from anybody.
I understand what you're saying, but when you turn towards when you turn towards Washington for a resolution of an issue, and let's examine any one of them that you want to. I think the best example is the border. I cannot believe that we have congressmen, senators, and a president who can get up in front of the cameras, which they oh so dearly love, and it's how they get reelected, can get up in front of those cameras and just point and start pointing fingers at the other person and refusing to acknowledge that we have a problem and we have to fix it. There are people pouring into this country by the thousands, untested for COVID or any other disease, and the our president is actually arranging to put them on buses and planes and send them to Milwaukee.
And other places.
Oh, and other places all over the country. What the hell is Milwaukee going to do with those people? Well, I mean, oh, well, we'll embrace them. They're not citizens. They can't vote. They really can't work. They don't have – and so I don't – you know, it makes no sense to me. And Washington and anybody currently elected and serving within the guise of Washington, D.C. should be embarrassed. I don't care if you're independent, if you're Green Party, or well, I don't care what you are. I have no care whatsoever of partisan politics. You're inept. You're incapable of resolving our problems. And this country is wobbling at its wheels, and you are doing nothing about it.
Right.
Arguing.
You know, Larkin.
Can I on air thank Larkin for something? Larkin, can I offer appreciation for something?
Absolutely.
For a long time, Larkin, I've listened to you on air and in private discussions. I would say most of the time we agree. Not all the time, but who agrees all the time? You look in the mirror, Michael, is the guy you agree with all the time. But Larkin has helped me frame and think about a lot of these issues based on how they actually are, not in the world of the press or social media. Those worlds, Michael, are manufactured realities. Okay, a regular person, you go, Mark, regular man or woman, family, you'll go out, Michael Henry, our audio engineer, you're going to go out and meet. Right, and I'll qualify by saying, you know, a person who's an actual adult, because not being adult is bipartisan. There's plenty of R's and D's who are both not adults. What do they care about, Michael? They care about their kids, their money, their rights, opportunities, where their kids go to school, keeping more of their money. Right? I mean, broadly speaking, Mark, would you say that's pretty accurate? Right? That's what people
Yes.
care about. Okay. Unless you're just on the crazy train, which is going to go off the rails very soon, as Larkin's sort of forewarning of, nobody woke up this morning and said, I think I want to talk about Anthony Fauci, right? Now, I'm not criticizing what Larkin is saying. He's bringing it up as a point. I'm just saying when I woke up this morning, Mark, I checked my customer list. I saw what orders needed to go out. I kissed my kids, made sure they had a good day. What I didn't sit back and say is, I wonder how many people got convicted from the January 6th riot. I didn't ask that question today. You know why? Because who cares? That's why. Now, in the manufactured world of a reality, that's a care. So what I'm thanking Larkin for is for helping to keep those around him grounded and focused on what actually matter and are relevant here in the adult world. So I appreciate that, Larkin. And a lot of Larkin's thinking or statements have come into play in some of the work that we've gone out and done. So Larkin is a person who's wagered something of value publicly. Mark, you have, right? Michael, you go out and do the show. Henry, our audio engineer, you know, swing voter in a swing state. Didn't forget that. I don't care where you're registered. What I care about, Mark, is what side you're on. And whether we like it or not, Michael, everybody's on a side. See, this country was constructed where everybody has a side. So all of the people who romanticize democracy, which is mostly the right, Democrats don't romanticize democracy. They romanticize outnumbering you. So the Republican Party, which is the party of the romanticization of democracy, recoils at the idea of being on a side. No, Michael, everybody's on a side in this country. That's the way it was designed. I'd rather have it no other way, though, Mark. So, Larkin, thank you, and to you guys. And as a quick side note, my Made in America product this week, again, were some more health items that I purchased, but not the little blue pill. Fortunately, I'm not quite there yet eating it.
Rich, you, as always, you are the best. I have to tell you this. There's a few things. This was a very difficult week because so many things have just been turned upside down. I told you about people wanting to extend the expanded unemployment until October the 31st or maybe until the total Delta is finalized and all. It's unbelievable that no one has been talking about the fact, if you go to the United States debt clock, which I'm looking at right now, I see that America is in $28,547,000,000,000 in debt. And that simply means that your children, my children, all of us, and their grandchildren right now are debt conscious and owing the government $85,600 per person in America to clear the $28 trillion in debt. Now, there was a discussion, and some people call me because they don't want me to freak out about different things, but there was a discussion that they want to spend trillions of dollars more on infrastructure. So I had a little discussion with them, which turned out, you know, to be fairly decent. I said to them, well, a lot of those trillions should and could be spent, but they should have been spent starting back 20 years ago. The roads and the streets that we're driving on right now, that didn't happen in 6 months or a year. It has taken years. However, this was the thing that a news person was very interested in. I said, well, maybe the people will understand if they do this enormous infrastructure project, but I'd like to see one thing. Every piece of steel, all of the components, everything has to be made in America.
Absolutely. Mike, I got a few things I want to mention, too. This morning, I have a health insurance meeting, annual, and my friend that runs it is a businessman, part-time judge. In the conversation, we talked about this worker shortage. We talked about, you know, people sitting home on paid vacations till September 6th. But I didn't know, he said, people, so if you work 30 hours, you can't get any help, so or extra unemployment. So they're working 29 hours. Larkin, you love this. 29 hours, so they got 1 hour short to fulfill the need not to get unemployment, so they file for unemployment to get that hour, but that entitles them to the extra $300.
Mm-hmm.
So they work 29 hours, file for unemployment, and get the extra $300. What do you think about that?
No, that's how it is, yeah. Because they want to add to the economy.
And they won't work the weekends at the bars and the restaurants because they know this.
Right.
That's what brought up the conversation.
That's exactly
there's actually an element in this country that thinks that's okay. You know? That these people are deserving.
Okay. But yet they have the work. They can work. The restaurant owners and businesses want them to work the weekends, but they deny it because they refuse it for other reasons to make sure they stay at 29 hours.
Well, I learned something also in the last month. I'll say since the 4th of July. I've been around. I've been to several events and talked to managers of businesses and what they were saying, you know, I want to tell you something. We learned to do without less employees. What we did, say, take a restaurant. If the restaurant had 22 tables, they went down to 15 or whatever. I'm just giving you an example. And they'll have less cooks needed. They'll have less preparers needed and less staff needed. As long as they can make their bills at this point. They don't want to beg people to come to work, and they don't want people waiting in line for 2 hours. So sooner or later, this thing is going to come back to haunt the American people. It's going to come back to haunt them.
Again, Larkin, I've got to ask you a question on this product shortage. You've dealt with many business owners, so no products, no sales. And even our water jugs, you can't get water into 5-gallon jugs because there's no plastic water jugs. So what do you think, what's your comment, this product shortage, Larkin, that's affecting everybody, no matter what business, if it's an automotive part to a computer, Rich, you know, to, again, a hydraulic cylinder that finishes my part or my friend's chlorine he can't get. What do you think? And there's no end in sight is the scary part, so you don't know the future. People have a bad year 3 years ago. Hey, I had a bad year this year. Rich, you had a bad year last year. That's common. But everybody to have the similar problem is unprecedented. What's your comments on that, Larkin?
Well, I think it's going to take the country a very, very long time to get itself back on track, back on the rails, so that everything's being produced the way it should be. You know, you can't find an industry with wigwams, plastic bottles, car motors. You can't find a business that doesn't depend on four other businesses in order to be successful.
Correct.
And then until everybody decides that they're going to go back to work, the one that I'm getting a kick out of is that there has been a rash of people quitting jobs now and saying that, and I think the example they used, and I wish I knew where the restaurant was, but it was the Burger King, and the 22 workers that ran the entire joint walked out, left.
Wow.
Said, that's it, we're not working for this anymore. So, workers have a way of making their statements. I kind of say to myself, well, Mr. Restaurant Owner, you got a problem, and you need to resolve that problem. And the workers are allowed to speak. You want to know how they answered them? So, but to answer Mark's question, until the country decides that you can have unemployment, welfare, and any other public assistance without taking a drug test, and I don't mean marijuana. I don't, marijuana is marijuana. It's legal in so many states. I can't even imagine why people haven't changed their regulations about that specific drug. But, these people on crack cocaine and, you know they're on crack cocaine. I mean, I've learned, I don't know if Michael sees it, but I see it all the time in my work. I see it all the time. And it's so depressing. But I figured, how are they buying drugs? Well, they get a check. It's gotten to a point now that they're discussing when the check comes in. Which one? We get one on the 5th, and we get one on the 9th, and we get one on the 20th. And I'm going, you've got to be kidding me.
Yep.
And it's here's a term we haven't heard. Bleeding heart politicians. We haven't heard that. It used to be bleeding heart Democrats. Then it was just bleeding heart Washingtonians. We don't talk about that anymore. But that's exactly what they're doing. They're trying to make everybody happy so they can sleep at night. I don't know. They're trying to put icing on a really... My sister made a cake once when she was 8 years old. And I looked at that cake, and I put my finger in the batter before it got cooked, and I tasted it, and I went, well, this ought to be interesting. And it came out of the oven, and it didn't even smell good, let alone look good. And my mother said, there's no cake so bad that my icing won't fix it. And sure enough, she put a double batch of her icing on this thing. You can cover it up if you want to, but, it's still just... Sorry, Mary. It was just a lousy piece of cake. So, you know, Mark, it's not going to get well again until we get back to normalcy. And normalcy is working for a fair wage. And that's what we have to, working for a fair wage, wanting a job, seeing succession so that one can better oneself. You know, when I was employed, probably 15,000 people in a company that I operated, it was so many of the jobs, and I appeared before Senate subcommittee on this very subject, the purpose, these were what we called income supportive jobs, family support, not family supportive, but supplemental income is what we really, really wanted it to be called. And that's what people did. They supplemented the income. It is now, we have so many people in that category, below educated, below talented, below trade level, that they have to depend on McDonald's and Burger King and Taco Bell. Yeah, they have to depend on them to get family sustenance, and that's unfortunate that's happened. But that's the way it is. So your Big Mac, I'm telling you, your Big Mac is going to get into the $4 and $5 range. It's coming. Just hold on.
You know, Larkin, I want to ask you a question. In the last, say, 30 years, 25 years, did you see any leader in Congress show us that they had the backbone to demand action on the loss of jobs in the United States?
No.
I want to ask you another question.
I don't think at the time they recognized it. I really don't. I just thought they thought this was the normal gestation period and development period for free enterprise.
But you know, Larkin, and, you know, 30 years ago, poverty in America was this percent. 20 years ago, it doubled. Here we are 30 years. We're 40 million people in poverty in the United States of America.
Yeah.
They had to see it because that has to come out of the budget. Trillions of dollars that doesn't come from doors and windows. But most important, Lark, I'm going to ask you, Richard, and Mark, before we get to the end of our broadcast, do you think we can find a national elected official that would introduce legislation mandating 50% of everything sold in America must be American-made? Larkin?
You know, it took them 25 years to screw it up. It's going to take them 25 years to build the infrastructure back up.
Well,
and
the elections are coming, midterm elections. I'd like to see some of these people, Rich, midterm elections. I'd like to see somebody say, I'd like to bring jobs in this country and mandate, not request, mandate that 50% of everything sold in this country is made in this country by American workers. By the way, in Canada, a lot of that takes place right now. You can't even play music on air if it's not 50% by Canadian artists. So there's a lot of this kind of stuff. In Asia, they have to have mainly their people. Well, how about in America? What makes us different? What makes us different? We need legislation to stop jobs from leaving America, to get a business realtor in America. If you want to sell your business, you go to Larkin Conley, who's our business realtor for selling a business to an American first. If you can't find any American, then maybe you go elsewhere. But this is all not being discussed. And the people who listen send me little notes and say, this is true. This is happening in my state. This is happening in my neighborhood. These are facts and fictions that we have seen in the news. Some facts, very little. Most of it is fiction to make it look like it's worse than it is. But the news media helped to make this country much worse than it is. It scared our people from getting involved and staying involved. And now we have to change it. What was made in this country, there's no reason it can't come back and be made again, especially with all the new technologies available and everything. This doesn't make sense. It's the workers, training the workers, getting the programs back in the schools. Those are the things that have to be addressed. Do we have candidates going to be willing and able to do that? Do we have people in Washington right now want to keep their job, that they'll start promoting it? Something we have to start talking about. I'd like to see what the reaction would be. In fact, I have a little bit of a meeting this week with some political people. I'm going to ask them that question. I'll let you know in the future what they have to say. Well, final thoughts for today. I'm sorry to tell you the hour has moved very quickly. What would you like to add for our final thought, Rich?
S-O-S-S-F-L for Florida, SOSSFL.com. Get involved with us. It doesn't matter wherever you are, Michael, SOSSFL.com. Get to all of our research and data. Thank you.
Mark Andel.
Yeah, buy American. It's the answer. We got to get our country and supply chains built back up. Go out and do your part. Appreciate it.
And speak up wherever you shop, because that's where the managers of the stores, the buyers and all start talking. Other people are bibble-babbling about this. Larkin, your final thoughts today.
I agree, and I never have disagreed with Buy American. Do the very best you can in that arena, but it's going to take a long time to build up what it took us 30 years to destroy. So
that's
let's
right.
Get to work.
We have to get up the ladder of success. It takes one step at a time. Well, ladies and gentlemen, until this Saturday at 11 or next Wednesday at 11, I wish you and yours the very best. Stay well and be happy. God bless all of you. Best wishes from all of us in the Blihash family and all of us here from 860 AM Radio. Check out our internet site by going to AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
Have a great week, guys.